who's not going to die. And you got Moses and Elijah, the two witnesses who are going to die. And then you got we that are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. That's Peter, James, and John. He said, there are some of you standing here who will never taste the death until they see the Son of Man coming. And that was Peter, James, and John. So, what do we got coming after 6 days? We got the glorified man-child, the glorified two witnesses, and the glorified people who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. That's what's coming. See? And when is it that these people are not going to die? After 6 days. Say, why didn't anybody not die before? Now. Because the Bible says here is when God is going to overcome death. The last enemy is going to be overcome in these days. Not before these days, in these days. Notice, the glorified Jesus, the three people who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, and the two witnesses. These are the days. So, the last enemy is going to be overcome in the coming days because God's people believe something. They believe that Jesus abolished death. You know what the last judgment on God's people while they were in Egypt was? The Passover. What happened? The death angel passed over them. That was the last judgment. But it killed the Egyptians. What does that mean? It means at the time before God's people leave Egypt, they are going to escape death. Egypt being a type of the world, they're going to escape death. Awesome. We're coming to the last judgment before God's people leave Egypt. And they're going to escape death. You know, we should believe this anyway. In Galatians 3 and 13, Jesus became cursed for us. Galatians 3 and 13. Jesus. Well, go there. I want to show you something. I'll show you a couple things. Galatians 3 and 13. 14. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree, that upon the Gentiles might come the blessing of Abraham in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Okay. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. What's the curse of the law? Look at Romans 8. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. He delivered us from the curse of the law.
Salvation by works.
Yeah, that's part of it. Romans 8 and 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and of death. The curse of the law the curse of sin and of death. If you completely escape the curse of the law that Jesus paid for, you will not die. You see that? It's very plain. Why didn't they escape it before today? Well, because today, listen, it was true before today. He abolished death for every man. And he tasted of death for every man. It was true before today. But the faith is not there. Paul said it's going to happen in the last days that he's going to come to be glorified in his saints and marveled at in all them that believe, because our testimony unto you is believed in that day. When did God start restoring the faith to believe for divine healing? It's been mostly in this century, mostly, except for little crowds of people here and there that have believed the Bible all along. But it's been mostly in this century. Now, at the end of this time, when God is going to cause some people to escape death, he's going to restore the faith for that. First, faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word. First thing God has to do is restore the doctrine. Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word. How are you going to get the faith if you don't know what to believe? Now, I'm showing you the truth here. Jesus abolished death. You don't have to die. You might, but you don't have to. You might get sick, and you might die of sickness, but you don't have to. Many people are escaping sickness after sickness after sickness while they walk with the Lord, while they put trust in Him.
But we have to receive that faith from the Lord.
You have to receive it from the Lord. You have to believe what the Bible says. Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the Word. You have to believe what the Bible says. Okay? So, another verse before we leave here. Verse 11. Look carefully at this verse. You say, well, I haven't seen it that way before. It's okay. It's okay if you see more every time you read a verse, right? Verse 11. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead shall give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit that dwelleth in you. You see, He don't have to raise you from the... See, being resurrected from the dead, we're being resurrected from the dead all the time. They're dead all around us. They're called dead in their sins. Did you know that? We're receiving resurrection life right now. And He says that that Spirit that gives life to the dead, if it dwells in you, it'll give life to your mortal body through His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now let me prove that to you. Look at 1 Corinthians 15 and 51. 1 Corinthians 15 and 51. Let's read this very carefully. I want to show you what God's plan is. Because a lot of times people just read right over something and they don't catch it. It happens all the time. We all do it. But God can open it up to us. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We all shall not sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So He said, some are not going to die, and they're going to be changed, and some are going to die, and they're going to be changed. Right? So, the last enemy to be conquered, 1 Corinthians 15 says, is death. Now, what does the resurrection of the dead and the rapture do? It abolishes death, doesn't it? And it's the last enemy, right? Okay. 53. Here's what some people don't understand. Verse 53. It says, well, this corruptible must put on incorruption. Oh, interesting. Well, I thought I had to put off this corruptible before I could get my incorruption. No. Look carefully. This corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. So God's wanting to put something on over this old body? This old life? Yeah. Look at it carefully. Verse 54. But when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality. Immortality means deathlessness, right? Then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Well, there's going to be some people on this earth that are going to overcome death. They're going to have victory because their old life is going to be swallowed up by the new life. He goes on to say, O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? The sting of death is sin. Hey, notice that. The sting of death is sin. See, if you stay away from sin, you won't have the sting of death. And in these days, that's exactly what's going to happen to some people. Is they're going to overcome sin. They're going to be overcomers. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, death was swallowed up of victory. They put on over their corruptible bodies an incorruptible one. Now look at 2 Corinthians 5 and 1. I'm going to show you some of the same terminology there so you know he's talking about the same thing. Because he says there, for instance, that what is mortal may be swallowed up of life. verse 4. Swallowed up of life. What is mortal may be swallowed up of life. Verse 4. Okay. Now let's go back to verse 1. So you know he's talking about the same thing here. He says, well, we know that if the earthly house of our tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building from God. Now that's true. You know, if you die, you get that other building, right? A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For verily in this do we groan. Now he's talking about something else. Watch. For verily in this we groan, longing to be clothed upon. Notice he calls it clothing. To be clothed upon with our habitation which is from heaven. We want to have that new clothing, right? That new body, right? Verse 3. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. In other words, you don't want to put off the old body before you get the new body, then you'd be naked, right? Because he calls it clothing. For indeed, we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but that we might be clothed, that we would be clothed upon. So he's saying, we don't want to be unclothed. We don't want to lose this body. But that we would be clothed upon. We would receive the new body. That what is mortal may be swallowed up of life. So, swallowed up, what does that sound like? It sounds like what you have now will be covered over by what you're going to get. Right? So God's plan is not for us to die first and then get the new body. God's ultimate plan is for this body to be swallowed up by the new body before you die. Watch. He that wrought us for this very thing is God, who gave unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Now jump on down to verse 9. Watch this. We're going to get some more revelation here. It says, wherefore, also we make it our aim, whether at home or absent, to be well-pleasing unto Him. Where else does it say that in the Bible? We just read it in Hebrews chapter 11. It was spoken of Enoch. Because of his faith, he was well-pleasing unto God. And he was not because God took him. He was translated by his faith. So he's saying that in order to receive this, you still need to walk well-pleasing unto Him. Verse 10. For we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ, that each may receive. Now watch this. If you got your numeric Bible, you can look in there. I can tell you how it is here. I can read it from mine and tell you. He says that each one may receive the things. Is not in the original. There's no such word as things in the Greek. It's not an original word. And done is not there either. Okay? And then in the body, the word in is the word through. That each may receive through the body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now don't let that miss your mind here. Everybody's going to receive through the body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Why is that? Because we're putting on this new garment, this new body. Notice that he said that garment, that new body, was a garment that we're putting on, right? So, we're putting on this new body, and we want to be putting on this new body while we still got the old body. Did you notice that? He says it's eternal in the heavens. You can't see it. But it is there, and you are putting it on. I'm going to show you how you're putting it on. Watch. He said, you're receiving this new body. You're receiving through this new body according to what you do, whether it be good or bad. When you do good, you're going to receive the recompense of that in this new body. Okay. Let me show you another verse. Romans 13. Verse 12. You know that our new body is made by our works. That's right. That's why he said you're going to receive through the body what you've done, whether it's good or bad. You know, everybody's not going to have the same body. Read 1 Corinthians 15. The heavenly body, 1 Corinthians 15, is going to come on three different levels. The star glory, moon glory, and the sun glory. That's what the Bible says. Everybody's not going to have the same body because everybody's not going to manifest the same glory. The Bible says we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and we're transformed into that same image from glory to glory as from the Lord the Spirit. See, what glories do we grow through? We grow through star glory, moon glory, and sun glory. 1 Corinthians 15. And so we're putting on these different glories, and the body that we sow is not the one that we're going to receive, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15. Okay? Verse 12 here, 13 and 12. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off, notice we're casting off something, the works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of light. We're putting on something. Let us walk becomingly as in the day, not in reveling and in darkness, not in chambering and in wantonness, not in strife and jealousy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So by our good works, we are putting on something here. We're putting on the life of Christ, the armor of light. To make it even more plain, look at Revelation chapter 19. Remember, the new body is the garment. And it's a garment of glory. Right? It's a glorified garment. We had a sister who came here one time that saw the three different garments that people had on. She saw in a dream, Revelation, of three different garments. And they were brighter and brighter and brighter. Very interesting, because that's what the Bible teaches, that there are three different garments. Revelation 19 and verse 8. And it was given unto her that she should array herself in fine linen. That's the garment. Bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. You see what our garment is made of? Our garment, being our body, what is it going to be made of? Our acts. The righteous acts of the saints. Let me show you another one, huh?
I was just thinking about something since we were talking about these garments, because when we're not doing the righteous acts of the saints, we're spotting it up and blemishing up that garment, and we need to repent to cleanse it anymore.
Well, right, because look at Jude 23. That's what Jude 23 is basically saying. And it says, and some save, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now, what would be a garment spotted by the flesh? If the garment, the bright and pure garment, is the righteous acts of the saints, what is a garment spotted by the flesh? It's a garment on a person who's been living after works of the flesh, at least in that spot. And if it's spotted by the flesh, and the Lord has called his bride to be washed with the word of God, to be without spot and wrinkle. Washed with the Word of God. Ephesians 5 tells us that. Look at that. Ephesians 5. We need to be without spot or wrinkle. If you're going to have that bride's garment on, notice carefully what it is. Ephesians 5. But as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it. Now watch, that he might sanctify it. Sanctify means to separate from sin. Having cleansed it by the washing of the water with the Word, having cleansed it with the washing of the water with the Word, that he might present the church to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So washing with the Word gets rid of the spots. Which are what? The works of the flesh. Right? The works of the flesh. You know, we cast off the old works of the flesh and we put on the works of righteousness. And the new body is made by those works. It is a direct reflection of those works. Colossians 2 and 11. I can just hear some of you trembling out there. If I gotta be perfect, well, it's all over. No, the Lord became perfect for you. You know, he already accomplished this. You gotta believe in him. Okay? Because he is able to bring it to pass. Everything that we can commit to him by faith, he's able to bring it to pass. Verse 11. Colossians 2:11. He says, in whom you were also circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands, in the putting off of the body of the flesh, in the circumcision of Christ. The putting off of the body of the flesh. Having been buried with him in baptism, wherein you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. Now, he said, you put off your body of flesh. There was a circumcision there. But he calls it baptism. See, in the Old Testament, the circumcision was to cut away the flesh so you didn't sow any flesh. And you didn't reap a bad harvest. Right? But in the New Testament, God demands the old man to be put to death, to put off the old man. Baptism, it's for the death of the old man and the resurrection of the new man. Right? You're accepting when you get baptized that you have now put off the old man and have put on the new man. You accept it by faith. It hadn't manifested yet, but you're accepting it by faith. God is able to do, he just said that here, raised with him through faith in the working of God. God is able to do what you commit to him by faith. If you believe that your old man doesn't live anymore and that Christ now lives in you, like Galatians 2:20 says, right? If you believe that, God is able to bring it to pass. Okay, look down a little bit further in chapter 3. Verse 3. For you died. Your life, the old man is dead and gone. You died and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, that's talking about manifested in you, that's not talking about his coming, his physical coming. When Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall we also with him be manifested in glory. What glory is he talking about? Star glory, moon glory, and sun glory. The third kind of body that God sends us with. Look at verse 5. Put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Since you died and your life is hid with God, you can do this, right? Put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake cometh the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience. So in other words, if people don't give these things up, they will go into the wrath of God. Verse 7. Wherein you also once walked when you lived in these things, but now do you also put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, railing, shameful speaking out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man. Notice, seeing that you have put off the old man with his doings, with his works. See, is this what we're supposed to see with our spiritual eyes? We're to see that we have put off the old man and his works, and have put on the new man that is being renewed unto knowledge. So you have to know what to believe first, right? You can't have faith unless you know what to believe. Put on the new man that is being renewed unto knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now what's, the Bible says, even as he is, even so are we in this world. See, we're being created in the image of Christ, not before his resurrection, after his resurrection. We're going to have a body like his body. But your works are determining the glory of that body. Wherefore, where there can be Greek, there cannot be Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, bondman, freeman, but Christ is all and in all. That's God's plan. Christ to be all and in each one of us. So, we're growing from this glory to glory. We're manifesting more and more of the glory of God. And there are going to be some people that are going to reach that final glory and they're not going to die. See, look at 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to point that out to you so you can see it plainly before we go. 1 Corinthians 15. And let's read verse 35. But someone will say, how are the dead raised? With what manner of body do they come? Now you notice, some are going to get this body after being raised from the dead, meaning they put off their old body first, then they got the new body. But some are going to get the new body over the old body, and it's going to swallow up the old body. Swallow it up. Okay? But right now he's talking about what kind of body do the people have. When you're resurrected from the dead or when you get a new body, it doesn't make any difference. You're going to get one of these bodies he's going to talk about. He said, thou foolish one, that which thou sowest, thou sowest not, that which thou sowest, though thou thyself sowest, is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not the body that shall be, but a bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other kind, but God giveth it a body even as it pleased him. And to each seed a body of its own. So he's talking about, he's applying this parable to the bodies of the saints. Verse 39, all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one flesh of men, and another flesh of beasts, and another flesh of birds, and another of fishes. There are also celestial bodies, that's heavenly bodies, and bodies terrestrial, that's earthly bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. So this body that we got now is a terrestrial body. It has one glory. But there's a greater glory called the celestial body. Verse 41. There's one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. Notice that. Everybody's not going to have the same body. Even between stars, there's a difference in glory. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. There's one right now. There is also a spiritual body. So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Howbeit, that is not first, which is spiritual, but that is natural. Then that which is spiritual. So, the first man is of the earth, earthy, and the second man is of heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthy, let us also, it says in the original, by the way, let us, not we shall, because that's not at all determined, let us also bear the image of the heavenly. And he's talking about what? These celestial bodies, swallowing up these earthly bodies. And the celestial body that you get is according to the works that you do. Because we're growing in Christ from glory to glory. 2 Corinthians 3:18. As we behold Him in the mirror, which means to say what? That you don't live anymore, Christ lives in you. If you see Jesus in the mirror, it means you don't live. It means Jesus is living in you, right? And He says, if we behold Him in the mirror, with an unveiled face, we behold Him in the mirror. So you have to have an unveiled face, because many people are blind to this revelation of faith. So we behold Him in the mirror with this unveiled face, the glory of the Lord, and we're transformed into that same image from glory to glory. From glory to glory. That is, from star glory to moon glory to sun glory. Now, star glory is has its own glory. And there are a lot of Christians that when they first come to the Lord, all Christians when they first come to the Lord are self-righteous. The glory comes from them. It don't come from God. The next stage that they grow through is where they reflect the light of the sun. The moon reflects the light of the sun. It doesn't have its own glory. You know that? See, when we first come to the Lord, we got our own glory, our own self-righteousness. We need to get rid of that. We need to reflect the light of Jesus, like the moon reflects the light of the sun. It doesn't have its own glory because the moon's dead. But it reflects the light of the sun. When you die, you reflect the light of the sun. Then the next stage is, once again, having your own glory, which is sun glory. But now, your glory is the sun. You see? You catching my drift? See, it's Christ in you. We're growing into that place of having Christ in us. Our glory is His glory then. And depending upon which of those states you enter into the kingdom depends upon what kind of body you're going to receive. There are 30, 60, and 100-fold saints. And there are star glory, moon glory, and sun glory saints. So if you want to enter into the next life without having to die, then you have to walk by faith and be well-pleasing unto God and believe the Word of God and do His commandments. Those are the things that we just looked at. All of those. Okay, and God is going to bring some people to glorify Jesus Christ on this earth. He's going to bring some people into life without their body dying. You know, like Joshua and Caleb entered into the promised land without dying. But Moses sin, and he didn't get to enter into the promised land. Notice that? Moses smote the rock twice, and God said he didn't honor him in front of the people, so he let him look at the promised land. He went to the promised land at the same time the others did, but he only looked. He didn't go. He didn't enter in. And it was because he had sinned. Joshua and Caleb entered into the promised land. In their bodies, they entered into the promised land. They didn't have to die. The rest of the Israelites died in the wilderness, and only their fruit entered into the promised land. That's what the Lord spoke to me one time. Their children entered into the promised land. Your children are your fruit. Your spiritual man is a child that's growing up in you, you see. And some saints will die in this coming wilderness, but their fruit, their spiritual man, will enter into the promised land, the kingdom of heaven. But other saints will enter right into the kingdom of heaven in their bodies, like Joshua and Caleb.
What
awesome.
Is the moon glory?
Huh?
What is the moon glory?
60-fold saints.
It also depends on what you're talking about, because it could also be referring to the church, the reflection of the sun.
See, the Bible says if we become united with Him in the likeness of His death, we shall also be of the resurrection. See, the stars are not united. The stars are separate. You know, look up into the heavens, you see the stars. They're all separated from one another. That represents something. As long as you've got self-righteousness, there is separation. You know where denominationalism comes in? Self-righteousness. See, God's people are separated because of self-righteousness. But when you grow up in God and you die to self, you become one. Notice the moon is one. It's not many. But it's dead. See, you die to self, you reflect the light of the sun, and you become one with your brethren. Then that enables you to go to the next stage. The next stage is sun glory. That is where Jesus Christ is manifested in His saints, where He is glorified in His saints. See? Now, there are some people that are going to come to sun glory before the end, and they are not going to die. They're going to enter right into Christ. They're going to... Their new bodies are going to swallow up their old bodies. They're not going to die. They're going to be people of faith. They're going to be people of obedience to the Word of God.
Overcome sin.
They're going to overcome sin. That's why they're going to enter. Now, think about the silly doctrine that we've been told so many years about the rapture. All of a sudden, before the tribulation, all the saints are going to fly away. No, God would have to break His law if He did that. The soul that sins must die. How are these filthy saints going to fly away? Well, first of all, He said they've got to be cleansed by the washing of the water with the Word so that they may be spotless. Washing of the water. Why are we studying the Word of God? The Word of God is God's water to wash us up, to get us ready. God's going to do this thing. See, once we realize that Jesus' plan is to abolish death, we can cooperate with Him. We can give Him the faith, and He can bring this to pass. Once we realize that Jesus' plan was to take away our sins, say, He already took them away. Yeah, He took them away by faith at the cross. But don't you want Him to take them away by manifestation? See, everything that's by faith has to be by manifestation. It comes by manifestation. Faith without works is dead. If you believe that God took it away, is He going to do it? Yeah, He's going to do it. If it's real faith, He's going to do it. He's going to bring it to pass. God is faithful. He will bring to pass what we've committed unto Him until that day. Praise be to God. See? It's not according to our works, it's according to His works. Salvation is by faith.
The Lord's been trying to show me something all night. And I think kind of need some help on this because I haven't gotten so far. And it goes back to Joel 2 and verse 13. We're talking about putting on the clothes, putting on immortality, putting on incorruptible.
Mm-hmm.
And Joel 2 and 13 says, rend your heart and not your clothing. And I was just thinking about it. When the Jews repented, they rend their clothing and put on sackcloth and ashes.
Yeah.
And he said, no, don't do that. Rend your heart, not your clothing. Well, if you put on Christ, he doesn't want you to rend that. He wants you to rend your heart.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, what are you saying, Lord? I'm just seeing this playing over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells you, don't punish yourself. You know, repent from punishing yourself. You know, turn and repent and leave the blessing behind, you know, all that stuff.
Right.
So I was just, it just seems like it's all starting to tie together. That,
well, the more we study it, the more it's going to tie together.
Yeah, it's, what was it Paul was saying, or someone was saying, that he's sewing back the ligaments and the sinews and all that. The joints are being sewn together. The body's coming together. It's just like his word is his body. It's coming together slowly, but I'm just not seeing it clearly, and I know the Lord's trying to show me something here.
The Lord's going to restore the doctrines before he restores the faith, before he brings it to pass. And the truth is, the doctrine of the rapture, as it's been taught, is just a lie. Because all of the saints are never going to escape death like they're talking about. They're saying all the pre-tribulation saints and everybody else that goes into the tribulation, they weren't saints until they went into the tribulation church. There is no such church like that on this earth. The soul that sins must die. They cannot escape death unless they've overcome sin, unless they're walking in the commandments. It's very plain what the Bible is saying here. Very plain. So the pre-trib, all fly away doctrine is a delusion. It's a fairy tale. See, the truth is, they're going through the tribulation. There are going to be those that are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, just like we looked at in Matthew 17 and 1. And the reason they're going to be there and be alive and remain is because they're going to overcome sin. They're going to walk by faith in God, and he is going to do it in them. And this verse is a verse some people object to this doctrine. It's Hebrews 9 and 27. Inasmuch as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this cometh the judgment. Well, that can't possibly mean what everybody says it means, that you're guaranteed to die one time and then you're in the judgment. Well, first of all, Lazarus didn't die one time. And Enoch didn't die. See, so this verse can't possibly mean what people are saying. And the saints who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, they're not going to die. Actually, the word appointed here is it's laid up for. Inasmuch as it is laid up for. Man wants to die after this judgment. And it is true, of course, that we have the Bema Seat judgment, the Footprint Tribunal, it's actually called, the Bema Seat judgment, which is coming at the end of this age.
Is that particular verse in this day just meaning dying to self, putting the flesh to death?
Mm-hmm. So, if you've got to die once, in what way did Enoch die? In what way did Noah die? In what way did Elijah die? They died to self. You know, there is no curse of death on a person who is dead to self, because the curse of death is upon a sinner. And if you're dead to self, you're not sinning. So, here's the thing, that God is able to do this. If we give him the faith, he's able to do this. We need to believe what the Bible says about us. First of all, God did abolish death. He did taste of death for every man, so that we wouldn't have to taste it. He already accomplished our perfection. Hebrews says, by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Is there any curse on a person who's perfected? Nope. Can we walk by faith in Jesus to manifest that perfection? That's what he wants us to do. That's why he made that promise. By one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So we're supposed to accept our perfection. When you look in the mirror and you see Jesus, are you accepting your perfection? Sure, you're accepting it by faith. Can God then do it? That's the only way he can do it. Because he said the good news is the power of God to save the one that believes it. So when we believe that good news, we look in the mirror and we see Jesus, we're accepting that we're dead, he lives, and then God is able to do it. Be it unto you according to your faith. We need to have our mind renewed by the Word of God so that God can do this thing for us. There are going to be some people who are going to, like Enoch, be translated because of their faith. And because of their faith, they will have this witness given to them that before their leaving, they were well-pleasing unto God.
I think most of the church believes that they're going to sin every day, that there's no way to not sin.
That's a doctrine of demons. If you believe you're going to sin every day, you're going to sin every day. Because be it unto you according to your faith. The Bible does not say that. That is an Antichrist gospel. It comes right out of the mouth of Antichrist. The truth is, we're supposed to reckon ourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. Consider yourself to be dead unto sin. In other words, sin cannot move you. You can't. A dead man's not tempted, right? If you're dead unto sin, it means you're just not moved by it. You're not tempted by it. Right? He says, reckon yourself. Consider it done. What is that? That's faith. You consider it done. Why? Because Jesus already did that. That's what he did. We were crucified with Christ, you see. So we consider it done. Accept it as done.
There's an old cliche that I hear quite a bit in the salon that I work in, and it's, there was only one that was perfect, and that was Christ, and you and him.
Oh, but that's not the truth. I am him, because that's why we are the members of the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ in the earth. And, yeah, you're true. It's true that nobody that's not, if perfection is in Christ, and salvation is in Christ, and eternal life is in Christ, all which the Bible says, then you have to be in Christ to have that. That's true. But we are the body of Christ. That's why we have a right to claim Christ's blessings. Yeah, Terry?
We have a question from someone new in the room. I'll go ahead and ask this question.
Okay.
I would probably answer this, but it says, could there be two elements? One wise who takes a rapture body change before the GT, I'm assuming that's Great and Terrible Day of the Lord. And then a foolish virgin who has to go through the GT, a Great and Terrible Day of the Lord.
Well, the wise virgins are not going to go through the Great and Terrible Day of the Lord. That's a fact. And it's because they're wise and they're full of, and they have the oil in their lamps. And the Bible says the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. So they are filled with the Spirit of God. And they're not going to go through it. But the foolish virgins are going to go through the Great and Terrible Day of the Lord. So I'm not sure where exactly we were going with that.
Kirk,
take it away from
the
He says he agrees.
Okay. Yeah, the foolish virgins. Remember what he told them? I never knew you.
Says,
I know you're not.
Watchman says he thinks the GT stands for Great Trip.
Oh, the Great Trip, okay.
I'm new to these types of wordings, so.
Great Trip, yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. Which is different than the Great Day of the Lord.
Yes, it is. The Day of the Lord comes after the trip, the tribulation. The Day of the Lord is the day of God's wrath. And we're not appointed unto wrath, but yet we just saw a while ago that according to the scriptures, the people that continue to walk in their sins, they are going into the wrath. The people that don't repent are going into the wrath, like the foolish virgins are going into the wrath. But we're not appointed under wrath. The righteous are not appointed under wrath. Any other questions?
Paradox says, I understand how you're seeing it now, thanks.
All right. Let's pray.
Well, it says, would Lot be a type of the foolish virgin?
No. You know, as it was in the days of not Lot, so it shall be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Lot escaped Sodom, you know. The Lord saved him. He wasn't a type of the first fruits. That's the only place he missed it. Abraham was a type of the first fruits, because Abraham went to the promised land while Lot was still in Sodom. And Sodom, he escaped Sodom at the last minute. So he wasn't the type of the first fruits. He was a type of the virgins. Abraham was a type of the bride, but Lot was a type of the virgins. Because, you know, the Lord picked up the bride, then picks up the bridesmaids, and then goes to his father's home. So,
how about Enoch being caught up in, I think this is Noah, going to the Great Tribulation, is that right?
Yeah, God told Noah, after 7 days, the flood waters are coming. That's the wrath of God coming upon the earth, right? So at the end of 7 days is when Noah left.
It says Enoch went before the flood. Noah went.
Enoch was translated that he wouldn't. Went before the flood. Enoch was a type of the first fruits, and Noah was a type of the, if you want to call them second fruits, I guess you can do that, or the virgins or whatever.
Carl has a good question. What about no flesh and blood entering the kingdom of heaven? But are the flesh and blood will be transformed?
Yeah, be swallowed up of life.
But, you know, because no flesh and blood entering the kingdom of heaven or inherit the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
But that flesh will be turned and glorified.
Yeah.
It won't be the same flesh.
No. No. Praise be to God. Thank you, Father. Well, you know, just believe these scriptures on abolishing death. The Lord did a lot of things, and we're learning more and more about what He did do. And the more we learn, the more we can have faith. And we can stretch our faith to accept these things. They're fantastic to believe that God could cause you to never die. Once you realize that the curse of death is upon the sinner, and you realize that Christ came to deliver us from sin so that we could escape death. Not just spirit, not just soul, but body too. Escape death, like Joshua and Caleb entering into the promised land in their bodies, you know. However, we know that our type is it's going to be changed, right? So
it all goes back to Psalm 104, where it says, let the sum of thy words be true.
Yeah,
it has to fit together perfectly, and we can't make the puzzle piece fit. It has to fit.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't fit in our minds, we have to change that mind to make it fit. You know, it's already perfect.
Amen.
If Bernice did that, I had to ask her, is Walmart open 24 hours or do they close at 12? So I've got to have milk at home.
Oh, yeah?
I do. I don't have none for my cereal. I don't have none for my snacks.
Carl has his hand raised.
Okay.
I'm assuming that Bernice, you brought this?
Yeah.
You don't want to take it home, do you? Oh, okay, I'll just take it to my house then.
Let's see, we got somebody new that came on and,
you have a question there?
Carl has his hand up.
Okay. Hey, Carl.
I'm not really understanding.
Put your hand up. Yeah,
you
got the mic.
Put your hand up. Can you hear me?
Sometimes.
Can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
Had you, buddy.
He can't hear us, right?
Oh, he can't.
Okay, Dale, I'm not understanding. You're talking like Enoch and Elijah and all them. They were just transformed on the way up. Is that what you're saying? I'm not really understanding that part about, you know, the old them died and everything on the way up, and they got a glorified body on the way up. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they didn't have to die and be resurrected. Everybody that dies has to be resurrected. But these people, they didn't die. They were just changed on the way, like you're talking about. They were swallowed up of life. I guess it's pretty hard to explain that. You know how in the world your old natural life can be swallowed up by your new glorified body. You know, I don't know how to explain that. I've never seen it or experienced it, so I can't really explain that. But we're talking about somebody that's going to go right into glorification without having to die and be resurrected. And that's what Jesus accomplished at the cross. Actually, he accomplished that for all of us. The fact that everybody doesn't enter into it has nothing to do with whether he accomplished it or not. He accomplished it at the cross. Yeah.
Jesus did give us an example of this. When he was on the mountain, what we just read earlier, when he was on the mountain, he was transformed and he was glorified. On that mountain, he hadn't died yet, but his body was transformed into the glory of the Lord. And he came back after he had been crucified when he gave that glory, or made that glory available for us. He came back and taught the saints for 40 days afterwards. Walked through walls. You know, it was not a vapor. It was a solid body because the saints touched it.
Right.
But it was, he did turn into a glorious body.
Yes, and that's going to happen in the tribulation period too.
Mm-hmm.
There are going to be the first fruits in the tribulation period are going to be changed like Jesus was. Jesus was changed after the first 3.5 years, symbolically of the tribulation period. He was changed. And then his disciples went on into the tribulation period and of course, died. But there were people who were alive and remained all the way up until 70 A.D. when the beast destroyed the harlot and they fled to the mountains. Jesus commanded them to flee to the mountains when they saw the beast army come. See? So, actually, God's just going to repeat history. The first fruits are not going to die. They're going to be glorified. And many of what we call the second fruits, many of those people are going to die.
Joseph has his hand up.
Hi, Joseph.
Dave, can you hear me there? I got a question on 2 Corinthians 5:8, where it says to be absent from the body is present from the Lord. Could you go into a little more detail on that for me?
Sure can. 2 Corinthians 5. 6. Being therefore always of good courage, and knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. And what he's saying is, of course, of the people that do die, while we're still in this body, we're not in the presence of the Lord other than spiritually. But to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When the people, when God's people die, they no longer go to Abraham's bosom like they did in the Old Testament. Into a waiting place in Sheol in the Old Testament they went. But when Jesus went to Abraham's bosom, he took captivity captive, and we see in the book of Revelation chapter 6 that the souls are up there with the Lord underneath the altar, interceding for the rest of the saints. So it's not like it was in the Old Testament, where to be absent from the body was to be taken to a waiting place, which was Abraham's bosom. Now, when you leave your body, through death or whatever, you go to be in the presence of the Lord. I'm not saying, of course, that they're in the presence of the Lord here all the time. There is, but that's talking about perfectly entering into His presence. So I'm not sure that that's, whether that's what you're talking about or not. Some people believe that you go into a soul sleep, which is false, because in Revelation chapter 6, they're talking to the Lord. The souls that are gone on ahead are talking to the Lord. And the rest of their brethren haven't fulfilled their course yet and died. And so the Lord says to wait patiently until everybody's finished in Revelation 6. But now, anybody that dies, they go into the presence of the Lord. They don't have to wait. I should have read that, I guess. That's Revelation 6 and 9. And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of them that had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a great voice, saying, How long, O Master, the holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell upon the earth? And there was given unto them each a white robe, and it was said unto them that they should rest for just a little while, until their fellow servants also and their brethren, who should be killed even as they were, should have fulfilled their course. So I take that to mean that the people who are killed for the Lord right there in the presence of the Lord. There is a soul sleep doctrine, but of course it's not really biblical. Any other questions, Terry?
We had one, but he left the room.
Okay.
He was just having problems with the post rapture tribulation.
Okay. Well, let's pray. Father, Lord, renew our minds with the truth. Open up our understanding. Lord, we know so little, and your word is so big. And putting this awesome puzzle together, Lord, is beyond us. We have to trust in you, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to open our understanding and give us grace to believe all that the Scripture says. And Lord, we know it's line upon line, here a little and there a little. And we ask you, Lord, to put it in our heart to search out your word so that we can put that line upon line and get that here a little and there a little. Because, Lord, we want to grow up fast. We want to know what to exercise faith in. We need your truth. We need you to restore it to us, Lord. We've heard a lot of lies, Lord. And we've even talked and thought a lot of lies, Lord. We ask you to forgive us. We ask you to finish the good work on us. We ask you to renew our minds, Lord. Reveal unto us the truths that have been hidden throughout generations, Lord, that are being revealed in these days, so that your saints may be those spotless, blemishless people that you have called them to, Lord. God, we know that you're able to finish the good work you started in us, and we trust you to do that. Father, we accept our perfection in Christ. We accept our deliverance from sin, our deliverance from the curse, our deliverance from sickness. We accept our new body. We accept it all because it was given to us by faith at the cross. And Lord, we know that we've committed these things unto you and that you will bring it to pass. You will work in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. You will grant us repentance, as your word says. You will grant us the faith to finish this work. And Lord, we do thank you. We do praise you. Lord, please go with us this week. Go with my brethren on the internet and here too. Lord, go with us this week, Lord. And be in us what we need to be. Be the Christ in us that we need to be in this world, Lord. Lord, we don't trust in ourselves, but we trust in you. And though we cannot be perfect, you can be perfect in us. And you paid that price. And we do accept it. And Lord, no, we are not sinners. We're not sinners because we've been made free from sin. We're not sinners by faith in you because you took away our sins. And we reckon ourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. And Lord, we call the things that be not as though they were, just as you taught us, Lord. And as you taught us, Lord, when we pray, believe we have received and we shall have it. So we believe that we've received the deliverance from this curse. And we believe that we've received that perfection that you gave us, Lord. And we love you and thank you. And we ask you to go with us this week. Lord, pour out your gifts upon us until that which is perfect has come, Lord. Pour out your gifts upon us. And we know that very soon Jesus will walk in a group of people on this earth who have come to maturity. He will be manifested in them to do his works once again. And Lord, it'll be wondrous to see Jesus in the brethren. And we give thanks to you, Father, that you've got great plans for this earth and for your elect. And Lord, we pray, we thank you for choosing us to walk in your kingdom. And Lord, we accept the fruit that was given us at the cross. He said in Hebrews chapter, in Romans chapter 6, that we have our fruit unto perfection. So we thank you for that too, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, I guess we're going to sign off then. And may the Lord bless you folks. We love you. We've enjoyed our fellowship here. Hope you come back. And share a revelation or share a testimony. I know the Lord's given you a wonderful healing or a deliverance or a blessing or a deliverance from sin or something like that. Encourage us when we come back together. Pray about it the rest of this week till we gather again on Sunday and see if the Lord wouldn't have you to share something wonderful he's done for you to encourage us. You know, each one of us, you know, express our faith in different ways. We got faith for different things, you know, and when we share them with other people, boy, their faith is expanded and they're able to reach out for more than what they've really thought about. That's great. So, Lord bless you folks.
And I'll be gone this Sunday, but I'll be back Wednesday and hopefully I'll have a good testimony for us.
Yeah, amen. Bring us back a good testimony.
I believe I will.
God.
I believe I have a great testimony when I come.
Well, I guess we better sign off, okay?
Mic's off.
Huh?
The mic's off.
Okay.
Well, we had Peasy in there. She's still in there.
Yeah, I sent her a letter the other day.
Joseph said good study. I mean, this new guy, Paradox 7.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember where he's from. If it was California or wherever, but he was really, really interested in his studies tonight. And
well, good. Maybe he'll come back.
Yeah, he said he'll. He said, "Lord willing, I'll be back."
Next week.
Thank you.